Sunshine 75 today. Down to what, 52 tonight, Keith? That's going to be a window opener. You don't need air conditioning today. That's the best part. I'm sorry, it's down to 48 tonight. So maybe just a cracked window, not an open window.
I have overhead fans, so I don't usually
move it all around. I like to be freezing.
I just freezing like air cold. Moving.
And you're going to have a gorgeous weekend for Lotus Festival, anything that's going on, sports-related, arts-related, outside-related. It's perfect all weekend. Enjoy it.
World Music Festival.
And then we're warm next week as temperatures climb back into the 80s all 5 days of the work week. On the telephone with us this morning, every Thursday we catch up with the city of Bloomington, and the deputy mayor is our good friend Mick Renhuizen. The President's Cup kicks off this afternoon at 1 o'clock as Ricky Fowler and Justin Thomas take on Hideki Matsuyama and Charles Schwartzel from the large trash heap out there on Governor's Island. Any interest in the President's Cup? You are interested in everything golf-wise, aren't you?
I love team golf, so I think President's Cup, obviously Ryder Cup is another level above that, maybe the highest level, but team golf is just such a different experience to watch. The players interact differently with the fans, with each other. You know, they have to rely on each other instead of it normally being an individual sport. So, yeah, I love it.
And I agree with you because making things in team golf is what it's about. No one's You always have somebody trying to make a shot, and they tend to go in every once in a while when they have that freedom, and I think that's where you get some of the drama and everything else. The backdrop at Governor's Island will be the Statue of Liberty and the New York skyline, so a very visually nice presentation as well throughout the weekend. President's Cup USA versus the international team starts today. Mick, we're not going to do golf all morning, just most of it, so that's good. But obviously, and as you heard in our lead up here, a very busy weekend in the city. We see the no parking signs all over downtown for a couple of reasons. Number one, the Lotus World Music Festival and everything else that goes on with that starts tonight at the Buskirk Chumley Theater. You're going to have a driverless bus demonstration downtown tomorrow afternoon and morning. That's going to close off Kirkwood from Lincoln all the way to the Sample Gate, so people need to know about that. Just park your car and walk around downtown this weekend. You'll have no worries.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of the exciting things to do, and as you said, Glass, the weather is just perfect for all things outside, so we hope people do exactly what you said. Go to the parking garages, walk downtown, enjoy the music.
Enjoy that trail.
Enjoy the future. The driverless bus, which we're calling our event Fast Forward, over 250 tickets have already been reserved for this 12-seat bus experience that will go up and down and turn around in Kirkwood without a driver. So, and we'll also have an homage to the past. Carl Cook's bringing the first horseless carriage replica of the first Bloomington car that was in the early 1900s, late 1800s. Will be also on display down at People's Park.
So we'll have some Flintstones and some Star Trek and everything in between there.
That's exactly right.
Now, obviously, Mayor Hamilton's going to answer a bunch of questions tomorrow, so if you don't want to answer these today, that's completely fine. But the demonstration with the driverless bus, is that something that we are embracing just to try out? Are we actively looking to buy? Can you help me out on any of that today, or do I have to patiently wait until tomorrow?
Oh, no, I can give you a general sense. We're not in a market to buy any driverless vehicles, autonomous vehicles yet. The technology is obviously still under development, but I think we're not that far from seeing that, maybe not in Bloomington right away, but in parts of the world. So it's not that far off, and I think we're just trying to forecast the future for people and let them get a sense for what it's like.
Cool.
And we're fortunate enough to get this company to bring in their vehicle for a demo day, and obviously the response with 250 people already reserving tickets. And if you're not one of those 250 people, you can still get a ride on this driverless bus between 2:30 and 4:30. Just check in at a tent in front of the Monroe County Public Library, and you'll be able to get a ticket. You have to walk. Bus goes one direction, picks up people on the other end of Kirkwood, so you're going to have to be able to walk from where you started. You'll be dropped up at the other end, so you'll have to walk back. So just want to let people know that in case you have mobility challenges.
Mick, is there any charge for any of this?
Nope, this is all free. It's a demonstration just completely about giving people the opportunity to experience the future that we think will happen, and we don't know how soon, but we know it's out there. We know the technology is rapidly developing.
How much does this cost?
How much did it cost?
How much do these buses cost? They've got to have a price tag in the manual somewhere, like a catalog. It says if you want one of these, how much do these, are these ridiculously priced, or are they?
I actually don't know. That'll be something I hope the American Antrim Bay, our transit director, who's working on this more closely, can say.
So we'll wait till tomorrow to hear that.
Mick, I kidded Mike about this, but I'd like to apply to be a driverless bus driver. obviously, there is somebody there in case, right?
There is.
Okay, and so it's not just going up and down Kirkwood by itself. There's an operator on it, but they're not touched.
There's no steering wheel that they're touching or anything.
You know what I want to do?
What?
I want like a 9-year-old kid that's played video games for 5 years driving this thing. They'll never screw it up.
Uh-huh.
They'll get you where you need to go.
How did Bloomington happen to become the place where this is being demonstrated?
Oh, you know, I think we have some. I mean, our mayor is he is a futuristic guy. He's always looking at the newest, cutting-edge things, and then he reads an article in Governing Magazine or something, and he says, "Hey, what do you all, our team, our department, has? What do you think about this?" And Lou May was particularly interested and explored it further, and that's how this kind of materialized. But a lot of it comes from Mayor Hamilton. He's one of those guys that likes to look at the future and think about what Bloomington might look like, and 5, 10, 20 years from now.
And that's not going anywhere. This isn't a technology that one day everybody's going to say, okay, that's enough of that. Let's stop with the driverless stuff. It's not happening. It's not going to happen.
You can kind of see, too, in the pilot programs that the mayor likes to do, that he's an experimenter. And I hope that doesn't come across in a way that's anything but
positive.
It's a good thing. From my perspective, you want to try new things, and you don't always have to have them perfect before you try it. So he's very much an innovator himself.
Mick, we didn't really get a chance to talk about this before we went on the air, but you brought up something, and it reminded me. Where are we on this wireless Bloomington thing that kind of fell apart before about getting internet and all of this stuff all over the city?
Oh, fiber all over?
Right.
Yeah, so you know, our negotiations with the 11 different people who responded to our RFP last year, we narrowed that down to our preferred vendor, and that preferred vendor's funding mechanisms on the private side didn't come through. So we've continued discussions with a couple of the other vendors that we thought had proposals that we were interested in, and those are ongoing negotiations. This is a big investment, obviously a big private investment on their part, somewhere in the $25 million plus range to have broadband fiber throughout the community, and so those discussions continue, but nothing to announce yet.
You mentioned the commitment of the mayor to technology and cutting edge. That was one of his big things, so I was just kind of wondering where we are on that. It's not dead.
It's not dead.
Okay.
That's correct. Just our first preferred responder just couldn't pull the financing together. We got really far down the road with them, and it was, you know, disappointing to them as much as us, as you know, all those entities have to go get capital from private financiers, and at the very end, they got a little scared of the model, or a little scared of the price tag, not sure which, because we weren't privy to that, but they weren't able to move forward with us at that time.
Speaking of financing, the convention center's still out there. Where are we headed, and what's going to happen?
Well, a lot of great steps have occurred over the last week. I'm a member of the County Commissioner's Appointed Advisory Commission on the Convention Center. We've obviously reviewed responses, and we've been working with the preferred vendor in that case as well. We have site plans that we showed the County Commissioners and the County Council last week. That was our task, was to get a project for them to consider. It had an estimated price tag on it and very much a ballpark estimate. This time there's no detail, no architectural renderings, no space designs, no, you know, real technical detail has been applied yet. It's way too early. But the ballpark estimate for the hotel and the convention center expansion space was about $72 million in the proposal we moved forward to the commissioners and the council. About half that is the hotel's cost, so that's what the private developer would obviously bring to the table. And the
Let me ask you one quick question on that.
Convention center space. Yep.
The private hotel is contingent on the convention center being built, or are they coming regardless?
Well, this particular developer brought both proposals. That's what intrigued us about their response to the RFQ, was that this developer has experience both owning and operating and building hotels and also building convention space. So at the moment, we're negotiating with that particular one to do both. Now, that may change as time goes on. It kind of largely depends on the next steps that the county initiates in terms of the funding mechanisms for this project, because obviously it's not going to get constructed, at least not the convention center, without some public funding.
Mick, I don't know who you is, but does somebody own the property across the street from the current convention center for that kind of expansion?
Yes, actually, the County Building Corporation has been acquiring properties around the convention center for years, and the city already owns some space right behind the Courtyard Marriott and the parking lot just to the south of that. So between the city and county, the land amassed for the potential expansion and for the hotel has all been acquired. In fact, the site plan doesn't even use all of the acquired property, so we have room for expansion or future uses other than a convention space if necessary down the road. So that's a good thing.
What's it going to take to get the county and the city together to put a ribbon on this?
Well, we've been having those discussions, and you know, the funding mechanisms that are being explored were part of the HVS studies that have been done in the past, the last one in 2012 that suggested a variety of funding paths to go forward. Now, whenever you show a list of sources, you know, you're going to quickly eliminate some from my perspective. The city and the county are not going to put general fund dollars to build a convention center, right? We use those for services. So neither one, while those are listed as sources, we can quickly dismiss those. TIF dollars are mentioned, and the city, when we did the combined TIF a few years ago, identified how we were going to use those funds. So there's really not available TIF funds out of that pot of money from the city side to apply towards the convention center's expansion, possibly some of the infrastructure around the convention center, some parking structures, you know, roadway improvements, stoplights, whatever might have to come out of the city's TIF funds. But, you know, that too is unknown at this time. We basically had already allocated our TIF dollars for other projects.
Okay, so that's really why. So you've already allocated that TIF money for other projects.
Well, so the obvious ones are the trades district improvements that we're making for job growth on the north side of Showers and the Switchyard Park on the south side, and then there are other myriad projects of improvements. So those two are the biggest price tag ones that the big TIF was created to fund. And so those current TIF dollars, that TIF dollars grow, so incrementally over time there will be more availability, but those two major projects are what the big TIF was created for, combined TIF was created for a few years ago.
Will the Convention Center Hotel bring in more money over time than the Switchyard Park and Trades District?
Well, that's a difficult thing to answer, you know, directly, of course, because the hotel generates revenue for itself and ancillary spending in the community via economic impact. When a visitor comes in town, we know how much they spend typically on meals and retail and other activities. So yes, that's the whole point of building a convention center that draws people to Bloomington and tourists that spend money in our community. So that is really the gist of the reason why, and the fact that we've over time learned that Bloomington is the second most desirable convention destination with the smallest convention space in the state. So we see supply and demand challenges there. Now your question about the Switchyard Park and other investments, those two have ancillary economic benefit gains. We envision the Switchyard Park creating economic development around that site, redevelopment of the areas along South Walnut, redevelopment of housing product and businesses around the park. It's a 57-acre park. So those things are indirect economic benefits, but we do anticipate those things helping over time. They're harder to measure than the more direct spending of a tourist.
Mick Renheisen's our guest this morning. He's the deputy mayor of the city of Bloomington. What's the timeline moving forward on this? Everybody sounds like, yeah. Is it when it comes down to how that financing is going to be determined that kickstarts this?
Always. It always comes down to that. So the city council will be hearing a resolution next Wednesday, October 4th, and then again on October 18th. There's two things. It'll encourage the county, who has to enable a food and beverage tax if that's a method that they choose to utilize, which I will remind everyone that in 2009, when the state legislature enabled Monroe County to have one, it was for this purpose, to expand a convention center or to spend on tourism-related activities and other economic development activities. So it is one of the primary reasons that the state enabled this tax to be utilized locally. The county council has to approve that, has to set the rate and approve it. It can be up to 1%. So that is a big step for the county to decide. The city council is going to consider a resolution urging the county to use that methodology, the food and beverage tax, and to pledge the city's portion of the revenue collected in the city restaurants and other establishments that serve food and beverage towards the construction of the convention center. Basically, we're saying we're behind it. We are willing to pledge the part that's collected in the city for this very project. And so that's what the city council will be doing, in hopes that the county council will also consider that as the funding mechanism to do the expansion project.
Mick, real quick, you youth basketball sign up is pending real quick.
Yeah, October 1st.
Okay.
Yep. So if you want to, if your kids want to play basketball in the K through 6 league at Twin Lakes Recreation Center, you got to get registered by October 1st. 349-3774 or bloomington.in.gov/basketball to get yourself registered for that.
Yeah, city does a good job keeping that all up on the website. The new website looks great, keeping it constant. Mick, we'll skip trivia this week. I'm a little tight on time. I apologize. I'd rather do the convention center stuff. That's exactly what people want to hear. We always thank you for your time and transparency on it, and we look forward to speaking to you next Thursday.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mick. Mick Renheisen, the deputy mayor of the city of Bloomington. There you go.
Wow.
Give you some county on Wednesday, give you some city on Thursday, and then you guys can decide what you think is the best steps moving forward.